A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm wondering why it took so long, Steve, for Julien Brisebois to begin preliminary contract talks with Steven Stamkos. I mean, granted, he did say that as soon as the plane landed back in Tampa following Game 5, he approached Stamkos just to, you know, let him know that he wanted to keep him in a Lightning uniform. I mean, there was all that time at the airport in Miami, you know. You're on the plane. They do the little, you know, emergency stuff. And then there's the taxiing. There's the runway. There's the flight home. Had to take at least a half hour. Why wait until you're actually off the plane and you're heading to your car and then you engage him? I mean, why so slow?
Well, you can't rush these things, Rick. But also, I mean, you probably don't want that conversation in front of others on the plane. So,
good point.
You know, that's a private conversation.
Yeah, that's true. Because then Hedman overhears it, and then he's thinking, you know, what's in it for me after my contract is now officially up after next year? So, it was interesting because, look, this whole thing began when there were no contract talks at the beginning of the year. But boy, oh boy, couldn't wait to talk to Steven Stamkos once the season was over. And all I got out of this sort of back and forth press conference that they had on Wednesday was, man, these guys love each other. Like, if you think Steven Stamkos is going anywhere, not on Brisebois' watch, and certainly Steven himself said, look, if it was just me, maybe I'd think different about things this time, but I've got a family, and I love this area, and I love this town, and it's not just me, and I can't just chase cups. Like, I want to win here. And he made it clear to me, at least in the comments that he made, and I don't think I'm reading too much into him, but, you know, while there's some frustration about, you know, the lack of control and all of that, both sides agree that they got to get this done. And so, you know, but he did say, you know, I got an amazing young family. It's put down roots in this city. I enjoy living here, playing here. So, you know, from that perspective, the decision is more than just me now. So it's not like many years ago when he could have chosen to go to Toronto or something like that and his family wasn't so big. I think it became clear that they've probably been talking. When I say they, I don't know if this is the agent, Steven, Brisebois. I don't know. But it seems to me like this thing has been probably going on for a little while, to at least to the point where both sides feel comfortable in talking this optimistically. Is it done? No, it's not done, but it sure seems like it's leaning that way.
It wouldn't surprise me if it's done sooner than later.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And look, we talked about after Game 5, John Cooper was asked about Steven Stamkos as soon as the season ended. And we know how measured John Cooper is and how calculating he is when he speaks. And he talked about Stamkos feels like a bolt for life. And, you know, basically saying, I think the deal is going to get done, but it's between Julien and Steven. But he wouldn't go out on that limb if he didn't know it was probably going to get done. Like, that's not, Cooper's not just going to go out and speculate that. He's not going in the media trying to get the deal done himself. That's not how he works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we said it at the time, and I believe, I'm sure there has been preliminary conversations between Julien and Steven's representatives. And there's probably even some numbers exchange. Hey, it's this ballpark range. And everyone's pretty much in agreement.
Parameters is what they call
parameters. Yeah. And to be honest, Steven may have actually made himself some more money by not having an offer before the season because of the way he played in this season.
Well, I think he did. I think you'd be naive to say that his performance, and frankly, that's probably the reason, as much as any, that they didn't sign him at the start of the season, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to see where the team is at, you know, are we contenders? Can we keep the band together? Can we add to it? Are we how far away are we? Mm-hmm. You know, how good is Stamkos? Can he make it through another season completely healthy? Well, yes, and he was very good. In fact, he was your best player in the postseason, and for that matter, down the stretch when you needed to win. You know, and they went on that 9-1-1 run or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Led him in scoring then too. So, you know, whatever sort of pause that may have existed with respect to the team itself and in particular Steven, I think was answered a long time ago. And so now it's just a matter of, okay, once we've agreed that, you know, this has to happen. Now, the other thing about Stamkos is that he mentioned that the most important thing for him is winning. You know, I mean, he's got his name on a cup a couple times, and he'd like to win another one. And he knows that, you know, a lot of players in this organization now and in the past have probably left some money on the table so that they could, you know, get as many good players around them as possible.
He did.
And he seems sort of willing to do that. Now, to what extent, we don't know.
Well, he did that 8 years ago.
He did it 8 years ago, yeah.
He could have got $3 million more a year probably in probably. Toronto.
To Toronto,
maybe
yeah.
Buffalo.
And then how much
Detroit.
More money off the field, mm-hmm. right? Or mm-hmm. off the ice.
Yeah.
In Toronto. So, like, this is not the media capital of the world. You know, I mean, you see a few commercials here and there, but at the end of the day, he's not playing in Toronto. He's not playing in New York. There was opportunities probably off the ice up there as well. But, the Lightning have a little bit of a home ice advantage here because his family's here. And, you know, it's not just you're moving. And, you know, so if you go for a few years, and then what are you going to do? Leave your family here, take them with you. You got to uproot them from things. He truly doesn't want to go anywhere. And it's clear that it's not going to happen on Brisebois' watch. I mean, you know, you never want to be the guy that trades the guy necessarily unless it's just absolutely necessary. And it happens, and it may happen eventually, I suppose, but this could be his last contract. He may retire after this. I don't really know. But much like Jason Light, this reminds me different circumstance in terms of age and all that stuff. But as Jason Light's wife, Blair, reminded him one night before they got the deal done, you probably don't want to be the guy who lets a legacy player go, who's still playing at a high level, who means as much to the franchise and the community, you know, as Mike Evans does, and in this case, as Steven Stamkos does, right? Now, could you argue, you know, and we haven't had this discussion because I'm not trying to do the Mount Rushmore thing here, but believe me, I'll save that for, you know, radio one day. But I just, what I'm asking is there a more consistently associated player with his team in Tampa, right, at this point? And, you know, Marty's a Hall of Famer. Benny LeCavalier mm-hmm. was here for years. But is there one that's a bigger face of a Tampa Bay franchise than Steven Stamkos?
I would say no.
That I would also say no.
I mean, one, he's been here his whole career. He's been here his whole career, which is part of it.
Right. Two championships, though.
He's the only one to bring two.
No one else has two.
Mm-hmm. It's a franchise, what, made playoffs 10 of the last 11 seasons?
10 of 11 seasons, yeah.
And they
three Stanley Cups. No, four. Right?
Four finals. Four finals. He's been to five. Yeah. He's been to five because he went in 2011.
That's right. He's been
to the
five.
Eastern Conference Finals. Eastern
Conference, but four Stanley Cup finals.
Yes. Four Stanley Cup finals. Another
no one
three
can come
Eastern,
close to that.
Another three Eastern Conference finals.
Yeah. So he arguably could be the singular greatest, you know, player in any franchise's history. Yeah,
I mean, Hedman's been alongside him the whole time there, except for his rookie season.
True.
But
for some reason,
captain.
You don't think
he's
of
the
Hedman
captain.
That way.
I mean,
way.
He's the captain. He's right. The number one overall draft pick as well. Hedman was number two overall.
Good point. That's another thing.
You know, the whole scene Stamkos campaign before he was even here.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Evan Longoria was here with the Rays for a long time. He's probably
the most face of the Rays. Yep.
Randy Rosarena could pass that at some point based on his popularity, although he's better hit better.
Based on the last month, he won't.
Yeah. And the Bucks, you've got
Brooks, Sapp, Lynch. I mean, the Hall of Famers. Yeah, Rondi Barber, I think, is almost equal Derek Brooks in terms of Mr. Buck, just because he played for so long and his, you know, his sort of visibility in the community, you know. So, but yeah, those are all Hall of Famers. They didn't win multiple championships, though.
No.
None of them, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I think Stamkos very well could be the, you know, the most decorated, certainly, and the most, the player most associated with any of the Tampa Bay franchises. You know, he is the sort of the face of Tampa Bay sports, if you're going to drill it down like that. So anyway, I think we'll at least, it looks like the way they're talking, and this is not an accident that they are throwing bouquets at each other, that, you know, you won't have to watch Stamkos in another uniform anytime soon anyway. Again, whether he, you know, signs a deal that's long enough for him to retire. I mean, he's 34 now, right? So
yep.
If it's 3 years, I don't necessarily see him playing to 40, but who knows? A lot of that depend on health and how he plays.
Exactly.
But it's
and
not
how good the team is, and there's a lot of things that'll go into that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the question will have to be asked, and we won't know the answer. Is this the right thing to do? I don't think they have much of an option. I think it is because of the way he's playing, first and foremost, and the way you expect him to play, I suppose. And you know, the captain things and what he means, you know, the intangibles to the club and the franchise itself, like we just talked about. But I don't know that it gets him any closer to a Stanley Cup.
Well, and here's the thing, and Julien Brisebois addressed this sort of on Wednesday with his press conference, because they asked him about what other moves, you know, are you looking to make or, you know, change. And he says, well, it depends on, you know, if Stamkos re-signs or not changes what other moves you make. I mean, is there a correct answer of bringing Stamkos back, yes or no? Is it the right thing or wrong thing? No. There's context to everything. If you're just bringing Stamkos back and nothing else changes on the team, maybe you at that point say, well, maybe it's not the right thing. But if you make some other moves in addition to that, whether it's acquiring players, getting rid of some players, swapping, sign, you know, tell me how the full roster looks with him. I mean, can you find a better shooter on the power play than him?
Not likely, no.
Can you find a better second line winger, which is basically what he's playing now, occasionally first line, but winger, that better at faceoffs than him? Can you find a better shooter than him?
These are trick questions, are they? They're all the same.
Answer. The answer is no, but then there's other areas where maybe you could find someone that does something a little bit better than Stamkos does. So it's never in a vacuum, like, because Julien Brisebois, I can't imagine after two straight first round exits with a core locked up like Hedman, Cooch, Vazzy, Sergachev, Sorelli, some of these younger guys. Hedman's a little older, but that you're going to sit there and just go, well, let's run it back with the same team. I think there's going to be some changes. What they are, who knows? And at this point, Julien Brisebois may not even know, because you don't know what's available yet either, whether it's free agency or trades or whatever you're going to do. But I think he's going to change some stuff up. Could some players be dealt from this team? Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Julian's, if anything else, he's bold and daring. Like, he's willing to take chances. And you've seen that at the trade deck, the acquisitions he's made at the trade deadlines every year.
Yeah.
Like, he's not afraid to pull the trigger on a deal if he thinks it makes his team better.
Look, they got to do something, because they are a long way from being as good as Florida or some of the other teams in the East. They've gone out in the first round the last two seasons, and they very well could have that happen again to them if they don't change it up.
They could. Now, you know, you could also say this season, And granted, I think Florida's the best team in the East. So they ran, you know, their luck of their draw was playing the best team. But each game was a one-goal game in the third period. Like, they didn't get blown out. There may have been times in the series where Florida controlled more of the puck possession and seemed to have control of the game, but the games were all close. Like, a break here, a break there, it could have easily gone there. A goal and interference call goes a different way. Like, I don't know if this team could have gone and won four rounds of a Stanley Cup playoff. But it's not like, if you think Florida's the best team in the Eastern Conference, which I do, maybe some don't, but
yeah,
every game in that series was one goal.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't mop the ice up with them, but they did. They were down 3-0 and lost 4-1. And
yeah, no.
But I understand what you're saying. You take each game and you say, okay, but for a goal here, an overtime there, you know, two what goals taken off the board.
But I don't
there.
Think they're as far as you think they're from. Like, I think, do they have as much depth as Florida does? No. Is Florida going to run into salary cap issues this coming offseason and have to make some tough decisions? Yes. Which is what the Lightning have had to do for the last few seasons now. Which is why, and we've gone through the laundry list of players that aren't there anymore. Like, I don't know if they're a long way away from, I think there's some pieces they need to change out and get some, and try something different. You know, sometimes you try some players and, you know, Connor Sheary's one who gets a lot of criticism.
Right.
Now,
he just didn't score. Now it turns out,
we learned today he was hurt the whole season. Yeah, he was
hurt. I'm going to go through the injuries in a minute because they're hilarious.
Yeah. We didn't know that. We knew he got hurt early in the season, came back, but didn't realize he had another injury and had been dealing with it all year.
Yeah.
Maybe that impacted how he played.
Would have to.
Was Tanner Janot a bad trade? At this point, it looks like it was not.
It seems like it for what you gave up in terms of draft picks and money.
Now, you know, I mean, but you don't win every trade. Not everyone works out perfectly. So
no, but they got to make changes. And but yet some of the guys that they brought in helped them. And you also got to say, well, will they be better in year two? You know, that's part of the calculus too.
I don't see Julian Brisebois staying pat. No. I think they're a better team with Stamkos than without. Most likely. Now, granted, if you don't sign Stamkos, you could take that money and try to get somebody else.
Well, that's what you don't know.
But you don't necessarily know who's available and for what price and willing to come to Tampa. And you'll never know that if they re-sign Stamkos. Like, you know, those conversations don't get had.
Yeah. I guess the question is, do you lose somebody because you re-sign Stamkos? In other words, who's the guy coming up for free agency that you may have to say goodbye to in the next 2 years?
Well, I mean, they really don't. I mean, their core guys are locked in long-term. Next
points
year,
locked in. He makes a lot more money next year, right?
Hagel's the one who gets the raise next year.
Oh, Hagel's the one. That's
Point,
right.
Point. All those guys got contracts a couple years ago. They've been.
Cooch is locked up.
Cooch is locked up. So the free agents this year are Stamkos, Duclair, who he's not coming back.
Right.
Tyler Mott, I think they'd like to have him back, but he made $800,000. Like, if you can sign him around that, that's basically the league minimum, even if he gets a raise. Austin Watson's probably not coming back. Mitchell Chafee, maybe, maybe not. He was making basically the league minimum. Matt Dumba's a free agent. I don't think he's coming back. And then Calvin DeHaan and Hayden Fleury. Those are your free agents this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not many. Next year, you add Nick Perbix to that list and Victor Hedman. Mm-hmm. Then you got A.C. Mott and Glendening, but those are small contracts. You could re-sign those. And Tanner Janot's a free agent next year. Like,
you may let him go, yeah.
Like, the next 2 years, there's nobody you're losing free agency.
Yeah.
If you sign Stamkos, you're limiting what other moves you can make without shipping
guys
out.
Well, who else you
out.
Can bring in here, right?
Yeah, without getting rid of someone or, you know, trading someone. You know, Kucherov signed through the 26-27 season. Braden Point is through 29-30 season. Sorelli's through the 30-31 season.
I guess, like, could you see an Eric Chernak getting traded? Like, you know, are they going to make some move like that?
Well, I mean, if you're looking to move salary out, okay, if you're trying to bring in some new blood and you need to move big salaries out.
Right.
You know, I mean, like I said, everyone's like, trade Connor Sheary. Okay, you could trade him.
Who wants him?
Well, you could trade him, but his salary is $2 million a year.
Right.
Like, the minimum is about $800,000.
Right. What do you say?
You're saving $1 million. Could you get somebody for that? Yes, but you're not getting a superstar because you traded Connor Sheary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tanner Jeannot's contract is 2.65, 2.665 for one more year. Like, so you'd save, you'd have a little under $2 million. Could that help you get somebody? It absolutely can. But it, like I said, trading Connor Sheary isn't going to bring in a free agent that's signing for $6 or $7 million a year. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
There's not enough savings there. The big contracts are Kucherov, Point, and Vazzy all make $9.5 million. You're not trading any one of those three.
Yeah.
Then you get Sergachev at $8.5 million. You're not trading him. Hedman's going to come off the books next year. Then your next guys are Hagel at 6.5, Cirelli at 6.25, and Eric Chernak at 5.2.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them trading Cirelli. I don't see them trading Hagel. Chernak's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's desirable, but if you're looking for a contract to move to bring on somebody,
yeah,
that's one at 5.2. Do you say, is he worth it? Now, he's really good on penalty kill, really good with some of that stuff, but he gets hurt a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that one's a possibility. Yeah. I mean, of all the big contracts, he's probably the first one you go, well, maybe that's the name
I've heard the most. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, they don't have, I mean, if you trade Chernak, your right-handed shot defensemen now are Radish, Perbix, and Crozier. Those are your three right-handed shot defensemen.
I mean, you're not better, but it's what you get with that salary, right? You know, in
return. Now, could you bring in a different defenseman? Or that's possible too, but
yeah.
You know, so those are the moves, Julian. I mean, if you sign Stamkos, depending on what the number is, you're not going to have a lot of room to bring in anybody outside of barely above minimums because you still have roster spots to fill.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you're pretty much lining up and playing. Let's play it again. Now, here's the other thing, and I guess this is true of every hockey team. What I love about hockey is that when there's injuries, they never tell you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's upper body, lower body stuff. But when the season is over, you find out, holy crap, how did any of these guys get out there? And it is, in fact, the toughest athletes, I think, going anywhere. We've already established that. But just listen to this list now. Tyler Motte, broken ankle. Eric Chernak, shoulder strain since game 2. And I think I remember that hit. Luke Glendening, dislocated shoulder and labrum tear. Get this. Since April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Hagel, and this has to hurt, strained glute in game 3. Ouch, babe. Nick Perbix, strained shoulder in game 1, played the next 2 games injured. Darren Radish, injured abdomen, ouch, babe, and/slash hip in game 3. So his last 2 games were playing with that.
He didn't play the last two games.
That's why. Connor Sheary, finger tendon issue since December 30th.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to see a specialist about a possible surgery. Your finger tendon? You do swing a stick for a living, right?
Yep.
And even Jonas Johansson has been out since March 30th, we know, he had a quad tear. Right,
which I find funny. They kept saying he was day to day at while, but it's a quad tear.
A quad tear? I mean,
then they eventually switched it. But
and then Hagel, you know, they asked him, "Well, how did it feel with the glue?" He goes, "Well, it didn't feel great. I can tell you that. I guess not." And then, of course, you know, all Sergachev did was, you know, have pins placed in mm-hmm. both bones. He's got to have those taken out.
Yeah, and those were just the injuries Julian knew 100%
about. And knew about, right,
they were still going through medicals on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. They hadn't had all their exits yet. Now, the other part of this I thought was interesting, sort of in the post-mortem that they had over there, was what Andrei Vasilevsky described. This roller coaster season. He had the back surgery, and that kept him out 2 months. It was the highest goals against, you know, 2.9. lowest save percentage, which was .900 of his career. And if you ask Breezeball, he said that he thought him not going to training camp, you know, sort of led to that inconsistency. He missed 2 months. And Vasilevsky said he will change his approach to the off season. And he said, you know, it's the foundation of the whole season. It's what it is. I'll be smarter about it next season. Probably change preseason training a little bit. He said he would not use as much heavy weights and focus on building more small muscles that help with stabilizing the back and his core. And so he said, you know, after the surgery, he's just going to try to be a little more smarter about the preparation. So that was interesting to me. And listen, not having the number one goaltender in the world for 2 months is not a small thing. You know, where would this team have been if he'd have played the entire season healthy?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say healthy, I don't think he was healthy at any point this year.
I'm not even sure he's 100% now.
I don't think he is. I think that's what he's saying is that mm-hmm. I need an off season where, you know, I get my health back and I train a certain way to where, you know, I'm not starting the year strained, you know, with muscle strains and back strains and all that stuff because it is his back. So there's a lot of improvement that can be made with, again, what we already know is, you know, the greatest goaltender in the world. So if he becomes healthier and can, instead of rehabbing, train and get himself right, that's also going to make a big difference in their season. So, you know, look, you still have a core of players that are still very, very good. I will see. It's a hard needle to thread sometimes. I mean, and this happens when you have championship teams. You know, how long is that window? How long can you keep that door open? And there will come a point when you got to move on. But we're not there yet, not with Stamkos or, and probably not with Hedman either.
But here's the amazing. This window has been open 10 years.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, can't stay forever. Well,
but they've been able to make moves and keep it going and add young guys and find the Brendan Hagels and the Nick Pauls.
They have, and they've done a great job of it. And mm-hmm. and yet the last two seasons, they've lost the first round of the postseason.
They have.
That's who they are now. That's mm-hmm. They're not the team that goes to the Stanley Cup Finals or the Conference Finals anymore. They're the team that has to struggle to make the playoffs and then bows out right away.
Yeah. Right. Which is why I believe Julian Breezeball will make some moves this season.
I agree with you.
Don't know what they are. Anybody can speculate. At this point, I don't think he knows what they are. Probably got some ideas. But the first one, you know, is Stamkos back or not? That changes how you approach the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to impact how much cap space you have, et cetera.
Right.
And you know, are you looking for a guy kind of like Stamkos? Hey, we need someone on that side of the power play. We need that, you know, or do you have him already? Julian's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, he does. He's in charge of a team that's in transition, but still has mm-hmm. enough, you know, legacy players that can still play.
Now, the one thing they have going for them this offseason, the cap does go up slightly, which Brendan Hagel's raise takes care of, but they don't have the attrition this year of free agency that they've had for years gone by.
Mm-hmm.
Coleman, Gaudreau, last year Killorn, you know, Palat, Maroon, Perry, like all these free agents aren't leaving this year. Unless Stamkos does. Duclair and Dunbar, but they were deadline additions basically Reynolds because Sergachev got hurt. But a lot of the room, if you choose to, can stay the same. You're not integrating a ton of new players unless you choose to, which Julian I think will, but you know, he's not forced to lose a bunch of free agents because he can't afford them.
True. Except,
you know, the Colemans, Gaudreaus, the Palats, the Killorns, you know, all those guys over the years that taken big deals elsewhere, got their money, good for you. Good, you mm-hmm. know, good on you. No issues there. Mm-hmm. But the Lightning couldn't afford Ryan McDonough. You had to trade for that. You know, they don't have to do it. Now, they may choose to make some moves. But this year, they're not into a cap space where they're going to have to get rid of people.
Yes, that's an improvement over what.
So now it's okay. We get to pick what moves we want to try to make instead of, well, we're stuck with losing Killorn or this because we can't afford him.
You had to make really hard choices and make your mm-hmm. hockey team worse, you know, in doing so.
So now you basically can bring your whole team back and decide what changes you want to make.
Yes. It's a
different position than he's been in.
Yeah, much different. How do we get better versus, mm-hmm. you know, what's the damage control we can do here because we have to get rid of people?
Now, it's not like football where it's easier to kind of shed contracts or push cap space. So it's not an easy task. But, like you said, it's a different position than he's been in.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting, and I would think that it would be, you know, in fairly short order that Stamkos will have his deal. I don't know what that means.
It could be, or they may take some time, and, you know, free agency doesn't start till July 1.
Yeah. Well, there was nothing that was said on Wednesday that would lead you to believe that it's not going to happen. So
right. And Julian Brisebois said he's already talked to Victor Hedman's agent.
That's
and you
right.
You can't re-sign Hedman until July 1, but it right. doesn't mean you can't start talking.
And Victor is hopeful he's not the Stamkos of next year.
Right.
That they get something done prior to the start of the season, which is also possible.
Well, and if you remember 8 years ago when Stamkos shocked most people and came back, so he decided that like on June 28th, 29th, whatever it was, right before free agency opened, a couple days. They announced the Stamkos contract, I think, on June 30th. And then July 1, Hedman, boom, signed. A year ahead yeah. of time. And in NHL, you could only sign a deal a year ahead of time.
Right.
So Hedman could negotiate a deal now. He can't sign it till July 1. So he's in the last year of his contract. That's just right. the CBA rules.
And I mean, him, you know, it's the same for him, too. He said, look, mm-hmm. I've been here more than half my life. I was, you know, he was yep. 18, 19 year old kid. So yep. he doesn't know anything better or really want to go anywhere, especially if the captain comes back. So mm-hmm. maybe that negotiation will be easier. I don't know. But you'd like
I think it's definitely easier if Stamkos is back because
yeah.
that means he wants to be here. I'm not saying he wouldn't if Stamkos left, but
no, but Stamkos is going to work on him. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
oh, I don't think Stamkos has to. I think if Stamkos is back, Hedy wants to stay.
Yeah, if you want to win, you're going to stay together, mm-hmm. you know, so that's going to be the feeling there. And again, they're both integrated in this community. Something, you know, fierce. Those roots are pretty deep now. So
yep.
they're not going to want to pull up stake, either one of them, especially if Stamkos resigns. I don't know. It was, if you're a Lightning fan, you got to feel much better about things in terms of the future of Stamkos, Hedman, people like this. And then you just got to trust Brisebois to figure the rest out and make him viable and hope that your goaltender is healthier next year. You have him for longer during the season. Maybe you improve your position in the postseason. Not that it matters who you play, but it matters who you play. Mm-hmm. You know, drawing Florida was not a good draw for anybody.
Nope.
They're maybe the best team in hockey and certainly could be the best team in the East. So, you know, not for nothing, but if you're not a wild card, you may not be in that situation. So
yep.
they can certainly improve a lot of things about the position they were in this postseason. It's going to be great. It's going to be interesting. Meanwhile,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Speaking of teams that shouldn't have to worry about the playoffs anytime soon, the Tampa Bay Rays just finished a 1-5 road trip, in which they were swept by the worst team in baseball that had only won 3 games all season, which was the entire month of April, until they showed up and they swept them in 3 games. And then they lost 2 out of 3 to the Brewers, and they scored a total, and this is the problem, folks, 4 runs in 3 games in Milwaukee. And they managed to win one of those.
I think it was from D-Rays Bay. It's 38 straight innings now that the Rays have not put up a crooked number.
38 innings, not more than 1 run per inning. That's incredible.
Yep.
That's incredible. I mean, they're 14-18 now, and I didn't realize this. It's the first time they've been 4 or more games under 500 since, ready for this, 2018.
Ouch.
That's how good they've been. I mean, 4 games under 500 is not the end of the world. It really is not. Not after the first month, right? There's going to be a lot of teams that are 3 and 4 games under, and then they're going to – I think the Twins had a bad month or half a month, and they've won like 10 or 12 in a row. So there's going to be teams that do this various months. There will be many teams that go 14-18 at some month during this season. But to think that the Rays have not been there since 2018, that's an incredible amount of success. It really is. But just watching them, Steve, and I mean, look, they got to get an influx of talent here somewhere, right? Not just Josh Lowe, but we talked about whatever they can do.
Well, Junior Caminero hit a home run today
another one.
Hit a 114-mile-an-hour double as well.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's just – he's just got such quick hands. I mean, if you watch him hit, the difference in the bat speed is just how fast his hands are. He's wearing – when you dominate AAA, here's the thing about that, okay? Not only do you need him up here like tomorrow, okay, for this series coming up beginning on Friday against the Mets, but there's nothing else he can do to prove to you – because he's wearing out AAA pitching. So he's mastered that, okay? You're not going to help him by keeping him down there, you know, so he can continue to wear out.
He was in AA last year. Like, he wasn't in AAA. He may have went down at the very end.
But he's dominating him now.
Yeah, I mean, well, but he was hurt some too. So it's but he missed a week or two in there.
Okay.
I mean, so he's still young in that regard. But the whole point is you need offense.
You need help, man.
Like,
you need help.
If the Rays were humming along, you wouldn't be hearing, hey, bring Campanero up. I mean,
no.
If he's earned it, great, bring him up. But like,
if this Yandy team Diaz is, was hitting, if a Rosarena was hitting, if they had any power, here's the thing. He can bring them some power.
Mm-hmm.
This team can't hit extra base hits. Forget about home runs and stuff. I know Parade's run into a few or whatever, but like at the end of the day, they'll have eight hits and they'll be five infield singles and three other singles. These guys don't even hit doubles. Forget about the home run ball. It doesn't feel like we've seen a home run in quite some time. I know there was one, one of the games in Chicago, at least, if not game one of this series. But
they're 25th in the majors in home runs.
Yeah. They're not hitting the long ball at all. They're not hitting, period. And they're certainly not scoring runs. They'll leave guys on all day, but it's first and second, one out. Second and third, two out. You know, like, they're station to station at best, you know, and they try to manufacture stuff. They try to run. They try to steal bases and all that, but they're just not getting any big hits with guys on base. And for that matter, there's no extra base hits at all. So, I mean, Cash said, you know, look, we didn't beat ourselves. I mean, they're just going out there and getting outplayed. You know, the other teams are just playing better. And that includes the worst team in baseball, which was the Chicago White Sox. So this is pretty dark and stormy right now. If the Tampa Bay Rays are not used to being in this position, they haven't been for so long, that it's really pretty upsetting, I'm sure, to their fans especially. But, you know, really they should have been swept in both series. You know, the only thing that kept them.
Ryan Pepiot.
Exactly. You know? And the new guys are the guys they brought over that are new. They're the ones that are hitting, if anybody is at all, like Richie Palacios, some of those guys. It's just not getting done. And I don't know. It can change. That's the way baseball is. Now you have a situation where Jose Suri was before the game suspended three games, and now it's reduced to two.
He served one today on Wednesday.
Yeah, so he's got to miss one more game.
So serve Friday, which his hip was sore anyway, so it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Take 3 days off. He'll be back Saturday.
Right.
But, yeah, they have an off day today. You get the Mets and the White Sox in town.
Yeah,
the Mets are a 500 team. White Sox still the worst team in baseball. So you need a big home. And they haven't been very good at home this year.
No, they haven't. They haven't been good anywhere, but not at home. Like Cash said, you know, at some point you have to put the ball in the gap. You got to hit it out of the ballpark, you know, and everybody's kind of feeling it. They're all kind of wearing it right now. Randy Rosarena down to 139. You know, you're just hanging on. You hope you get Josh Lowe. You hope you get Jonathan Aranda. You hope you get maybe Johnny DeLuca back. And I didn't think, you know, like Zach Eflin pitched. He didn't pitch badly. He gave up three runs. Willy Adames, by the way, man, did he wear them out for the three-game series. Couple of home runs by Adames on Wednesday. And I think three in the series. So if only they had a shortstop.
Although he would have had to hit a Tropicana Field. He wasn't very good
at that. That's true. And then that's probably why he's become such a good player, is because he rarely has to hit a Tropicana Field anymore. That was a thing for a while. Yikes. It was bad. It was all bad. There was nothing I, you know, as a matinee, I had it on. I was working. And I was like, okay, let me flip this on. Just at no point did you feel like they were in this game, you know. And you don't see many 1-in-5 road trips out of them, but boy, they were lucky to win. How do we win one? I mean, that's kind of what the, you know, what the mantra will be on the way home. So maybe those City Connect uniforms, maybe that will change their fortunes on Friday. What do you think?
It can't hurt.
Yeah. We got a funny mailbag question about that. We'll get to maybe tomorrow.
We'll get to tomorrow on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. It's I love the hats, man. I don't know about the uniforms. I do love the hats. The Sky Ray, genius. Absolute genius. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Finally, we'll just give you a little bit of Bucks news, and this is not unexpected, nor is it really breaking of any kind, but what the heck. We document things for a living here at the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com and on Sports Day Tampa Bay. Today is the deadline for picking up the fifth-year option of said player, first-round pick that you may have drafted back 3 years ago. And so, you know, that would mean that Joe Tryon-Shoyinka, who was their first-round pick in 2021, would be eligible for that fifth-year club option, that they could extend him this year and lock him up for two more seasons, except that they're not going to. And that's not a surprise, kind of based on his lack of production, if you will. And so it's kind of a housekeeping thing, but it's significant in this sense that they haven't swung and missed on a lot of first round picks that didn't get these fifth year options, but certainly him. I think Joe's situation was unique because he was kind of caught in that COVID storm a little bit. Then, you know, they had kind of partial season there at Washington or whatever. He was just he's a great athlete that plays football. I don't know that he's a great football player, you know. They haven't really found a home for him. They thought he would be an edge rusher. He does some things, but he wasn't finishing at the top of his rush and getting sacks and getting guys on the ground. I know everybody gets wrapped up in sacks, and as well they should if you're talking about that position. But he only has 13 in 3 years. And last year he had the most ever for himself. He had 5. One of those was very significant. It sort of clinched the game against Carolina that they had to win the NFC South at the end of the season. And so, you know, but the sort of the development midseason of Yaya Diaby, that put Joe on the bench or made him at least a rotational player. So that was tough. And if they did guarantee him, you know, the fifth year option is $13.251 million. Instead, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. And you knew this was coming. You just have to look at the offseason, right? They sign Randy Gregory from the 49ers. And even though he's not a huge sack number guy, he's still somebody that can get a lot of pressure, 31-year-old veteran. And then they went and they used the second-round pick on Chris Braswell from Alabama, who they have a lot of high hopes for. And he too, is an edge rusher. So how can you play all these guys? Well, I think Todd Bowles made it clear back in March when we were at the NFL owners meetings that he sees Joe as sort of this, you know, chess piece that he can move around all over the place. You know, he can play defensive end, he can play outside linebacker, he can play three tech, he can be part-time nickel, he can be an inside backer. And they've used these guys, they kind of went to, at the end of the year last year, they kind of went to a five-man front a little bit, to where nobody knew who was dropping in coverage and who was coming. And it worked pretty well for the most part. And so I think they have more pieces where they can do that with. You expect Diaby to be better, certainly. Like I said, Braswell's going to play. And, you know, you've got a lot of Anthony Nelson. You've got a lot of guys that you can bring in there on a rotational basis. And we'll just have to see who ends up with a starting job. But it doesn't mean that Joe's not going to be a big piece of this season, because he will be. And frankly, some guys, when they're on their contract years, they really, you know, they really ball out. And I think Todd Bowles has some creative ideas about what he's going to do with him. And I think we saw a little bit about that at the end of last year when they had the five down linemen, the five bigs out there. And, you know, Joe was able to drop into coverage. He's really good at that as well. He's got some above average drop skills, which a guy his size doesn't. Again, it's his athleticism. So he's kind of a bargain. I mean, he's in his fourth season, and he's going to make about $3.5 million or so. Most of that's guaranteed. So for as much as he's going to play and contribute, that's good value. But he'll be a free agent, and so while you hope, if you're a Bucs fan, you hope he really, you know, hits it big and has his greatest year. By the same token, you don't have any options left on him, and so he could test free agency. Doesn't mean he will. Doesn't mean he wouldn't come back here if he does that. But at least you're not willing to bet $13 million against it. So that's sort of what's going on there. But you know, we're getting closer to the Bucks rookie minicamp. That's going to start next week, and we'll have more stories, you know, throughout the week about you know, some of the comings and goings of the Bucks situation, including, and we'll talk about this tomorrow some more, a significant weight loss by Vita Vea. And what does that mean for the defensive tackle? So your mailbag questions tomorrow, right, Steve?
That is correct. Get them in now.
You can still submit them. You can do that on Twitter, at SportsDayTB. Reach me on Twitter, at NFL Stroud. Email address, rstroud@tampabay.com. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.